Is that it? I'm not very technical, as you will probably gather. Good morning, church family. What an honor, what a privilege to be here. You know, I just wanted to give you a little bit of the backstory. A few months ago, Pastor Grant offered an evening course for anyone that was considering maybe doing a message. And I have got lots of messages, as you will hear. And so I thought, well, I'll go. And so I did that. And you know, afterwards, I was sort of like, well, that was a bit of a waste of time. Because when am I ever going to get a chance? You know, who's going to ask me to speak? And God said clearly to me, Mel, you put in the work, I'll give you the opportunity. And a few weeks later, Pastor Grant emailed me out of the blue, inviting me to give the message today. So I was very, very grateful for that. So I would like to start with a prayer. Lord, Holy Spirit, I just lay my life before you. These stories are from you, Lord. You, it's you that has put this in me. None of it is me. So, Lord, I ask that you remove anything of Mel. Anything that Mel might slip in there just for whatever reason. That you, only you will get the glory, Lord. That you will give your message to these people. I understand the honor and the responsibility of addressing this congregation. And I submit myself to you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So, here goes. Another little bit of background. Those of you who think that I've got a bit of a speak a bit funny, I mean, I don't necessarily always speak like Canadian. I originally came from South Africa 21 years ago with my husband, Rod, and our three children, Kerry, Callum, and Laura. We came directly from South Africa, more than halfway around the world, to little old Cranbrook. And so it was an incredible thing. What? Sorry about that. As you can see, this is my first rodeo. So the children, please, go where you go. Thank you so much, Christy. Let me just pray for the leaders and the children as they go. Lord, would you bless these little bodies and bless the teachers. Thank you, Lord, for these parents that understand the importance of putting the word into their little children from a young age. And so, Lord, we ask you to take your word and multiply it in their lives. Cause it to cause great fruit as they grow up, as they age, Lord. I pray for this in Jesus' name. The little things that they learn today, they will remember that you'll bring them back to their minds as they need it going through life. So thank you, Lord. Okay, so now have I done everything I need to do? Okay, so as I said, we came directly to Canada, having left our beautiful 1,000-acre ranch high in the mountains of Mpumalanga province in South Africa. So why would you leave such a beautiful place? Well, unfortunately, the political and criminal violence was escalating in that country. And life was no longer safe. Our lives were under threat from terrorist attack at any time. And so we needed to get to Cranbrook, to Canada. Rod applied, and it took about 3 years for us to finally, and that's your life, you live your life on hold for 3 years while you wait to hear, yes, you can come or you can't. Anyway, now many of you will remember those early days because God led us directly to Cranbrook Alliance Church. And what a church family he got us plugged into. You know, the kindness and the generosity of the Canadian people nearly blew us away. It was just absolutely incredible. And many of you will remember us from those days. We didn't know what we were doing. We had no idea. But anyway, I want to read you from one of my favorite scripture passages and perhaps share some insights. The light is not very good up here. So perhaps share some insights that we learned from having taken God literally at his word time and time again. Let me say from the very, very start, I haven't got all this right. I'm not standing here speaking as an authority because I'm not. I still wobble and wobble and shake and fall. But the good thing is we are all on the same journey. And that's why we're here, to encourage one another. So I'm going to read from Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 to 34. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is life not more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? And who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about your clothes? Look at how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon, in all his splendor, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today, and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, for you of little faith? So do not worry about your, do not worry saying, what shall we eat, and what shall we drink, and what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry, saying, good morning. Do not worry, saying, where am I? Sorry, the light is not good for me. Therefore, do not worry, saying, do not worry about tomorrow. Thank you, B. You've heard me over and over again. For tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Now, let's just open this passage up. And, you know, I like to think of a ball of string. It's all bits and pieces and knotted up and not in a good shape. So the way to get that string organized is to actually separate the little strands slowly, patiently, and open them up. If you tug and fight against it, it's just going to take you much, much longer, and you've got a much bigger bird's nest on your hands. So this is my plan, is to just go through this slowly. I'm going to repeat the verse 25 again. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or what you will drink, or your body, what you will wear. Is life not more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow, or reap, or store away in barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? take any of you by worrying at a single hour to their life. So worrying about our provision, food, clothes, etc., etc., it's just part of who we are. I mean, most of us can't provide any of that stuff for ourselves. We've got to work for it. We've got to figure it out. But God, and God wired us like this to be hunters and gatherers. We need food. We need clothes. We need drink for our frail bodies. Yet, we are told not to worry about it. You kind of kid, Lord. During our very first Canadian winter, now remember that we came from sunny South Africa to cold Canada. And we'd never experienced that. We were living on our South African rand, which was the exchange rate then was 6 to 1. So for every Canadian dollar that we needed, it would take us 6 of our South African rand. So you see your life savings going down the drain in a big, big hurry. So my worst thing, one of my hardest things, because I was the mom, I needed to go to a superstore and buy groceries. But when you're trying to do that with this exchange rate thing that I've explained to you, and just like the prices, I was like a fish out of water. And truly, it was just so, it was very, very hard. I had delayed the shopping trip. But anyway, I couldn't delay it any longer. And so put on my coat, and I put my jacket on, and I finally looked in my wallet to face the truth of what I had in there. Because I'd been dreading it. Opened it up, $50. And with the shopping list I had, I knew $50 was not going to get anywhere near what I needed. And I said right out loud, Lord, I'm going to need a cash injection. I don't know why I used those words, but that's what I said. Then I'm dithering around looking for my gloves and what have you. Put my hand in my pocket. What's this? Came out of this little cardboard box. Tiny little thing. It's been made out of an old Christmas card. I took the lid off. And there, stuffed inside this tiny little box, was $150 in every different denomination. Not neatly folded, but just stuffed in there. And there I had my groceries. I had the money to go to Superstore at peace, knowing that I had the money to do that. And that was just one of the incredible things just knowing that God is God's faithfulness. All I have needed, His hand has provided. And talking about groceries, who of you have been to the grocery store recently? Skyrocketing prices, inflation, shrinkflation, and shrinkflation is where you buy this huge packet at the same price or not or higher, but only half the contents in it. And I think they're fooling us. And I just like all the slick marketing campaigns that just befuddle most of us. So I've always had this thing, will I have enough? Will I have enough? So how do I cope? How do I cope with my grocery shopping and things like that? Before I leave for the grocery store, I pray. And I say, Lord, you know what I need. I ask you to give me the wisdom I need to see, to shop. the things that I don't need, just remind me of that. You give me the discernment as to what I need and what I don't need at this time. God knows our time. He knows the timing. The timing's His time is perfect. And so away I go, at peace. As I go around the grocery store, now I know some of you will think this old bat is out for lunch there, but I sing the chorus of that song that we did this last summer. All I have needed, His hand has provided. Great is His faithfulness, Lord, unto me. And I just remind God over and over. Like when I get anxious and I see, I just sing. And truly, the peace of the Lord that passes all understanding fills my heart. And it gives me, and I can actually enjoy grocery shopping now. And you know what I love the best? Is the little deals that God lines up for me. And it's like He's winking at me. I just like see a little thing and it's like, yay, score, into the basket you go. And so that's, as I say, it's become an adventure as opposed to a dread. All I have needed, His hand has provided. Great is His faithfulness. So this strategy just fills me with peace. But I want to move on to verse 27. And it poses the question, who of you are worrying can add a single hour to their life? Now, that's pretty humbling. Who do we think we are? Who do I think I am? That by worrying, I'm going to sort any of this stuff out. But God, my job is to accept and live by God's word. And He does. He gives us the ability to do it. I can assure you a flood of peace as you do it. Going on to verse 28. And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon, in all his glory, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today, and tomorrow is tossed into the fire, will He not much more clothe you? O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, why do you eat? What shall we eat? And what shall we drink? And what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. As I spend time in the mornings with the Lord, I love to get my coffee, and I go into our spare room, and I look out at the mountains. We've got a beautiful view of the Rocky Mountains. Seeing those magnificent, magnificent hills, mountains. But better than that, I love to picture what's behind the Rocky Mountains. The hills, the little hidden valleys, the animals, the birds, the insects, but all that's going on, and not a single soul knows it. No one even goes there. But, I'm sorry, I've just lost my place here. So, as I say, God, these incredible hills and valleys, the hidden little things that we don't even know that are there. Now, if I was God, and thank God I'm not, I would not be doing that. I'd have a different strategy. I would only plant flowers on the hills, on the highways and the byways,
where the busy traffic is, where everyone can drive past or walk past and say, wow, isn't that incredible? Look at that craftsmanship. But God, he doesn't need that pride. He doesn't need that acclamation. He grows those little flowers. The incredible detail, the incredible design that he has. Have you ever stopped and seen those? Take time to have a look at the intricate designs that he's made of these beautiful flowers. Okay, so verse 29 goes on to say Solomon, not even Solomon in all his splendor. So Solomon was one of the richest, wealthiest, cleverest, wisest men in the whole world. I mean, he was like a king. And in those days, the kings dressed like kings. And the Bible tells us that not even Solomon, in all his splendor, was dressed like the wildflowers. Those wildflowers, God put there. And so, yet, I'm so sorry. All of Solomon's designer gear, he didn't do any thrift store shopping. He didn't do that kind of thing. He had the best of the very, very best. But all of his designer gear cannot compare with the beauty of the wildflowers. For me, the best verse in the whole passage is, your heavenly Father knows that you need them. You know, a while ago, actually not that long ago, I needed some serious dental work done. Now, the word dentist, the sheer word dental, can send me into an absolute test. Because I know, I just see the dollar bills, the dollars, and the ka-chinging of the cash register as it swallows up all my hard-earned money. But, you know, it's so unaffordable. And so I had been praying and saying, like, Lord, okay, you said this. You said you know all of my needs. So, Lord, I need you to come through. And you know the generosity of this church family made it possible for my dental work to be done. That's humbling, guys. It's humbling to admit that I need help. I need help. I can't do this on my own. I couldn't afford it. But God used the people of this church to pay those bills for me. What an incredible blessing. And you know, if he hadn't, you know, like I look at it this way. If I hadn't had that need, you wouldn't have the opportunity of the thrill of knowing that you, God, had used you to meet my needs. You know, it says in the Bible, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Great is his faithfulness. Great is his faithfulness. It goes on and says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough worries of its own. Is that not the truth? Okay, so how do I do that? How do I do this seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? So what I do is in the morning, I get my coffee. That's this thing. And I go to the guest room and I just spend time in prayer, reading the Bible and just meditating on God's word, just listening to what the Lord is saying to me. And as I purposefully prioritize, because, you know, my temptation is, pick up my phone, because I do a lot of devotions on my phone, because it's easy. Pick up my phone, but I've got to resist the temptation. Because, you know, like those little family texts, those little notifications, does anyone else get those? You think, I wonder what's going on now. Is it something wrong? What's the drama now? What's the drama? Now I'm a mom. So, but I resist that. Turn my phone over so that I cannot see that. And then I continue with my devotions. And, you know, in the old days, I used to think, this is a waste of time. This is, takes a long time. I mean, like, I haven't got time. I've got things to do, places to go. But, guys, the time that you spend in the Word of God and connecting with God, He will never, ever, you will always have enough time. As I go about my day, and sometimes I get stuck in a passage and it gets longer, but it doesn't matter, because I know God's economy. I followed God for more than 40 years. I know the way He works. He will more than more give that time back to me. Because that is the faithful God I serve. And there's a quaint little saying that says, a day hemmed in prayer is less likely to come unraveled. So seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. Remember that God knows all of our needs. But now you say, are you telling me that you don't worry anymore? Have you got this done? No, I'm not there. But as Joyce Meyer says, I'm not where I should be, but thank God I'm a whole lot closer than I used to be. And that's what we've got to do. And truly, guys, the more time you spend with the Lord, the more committed you are to Him, the deeper your connection goes with Him. And He meets these needs. Great is His faithfulness. So, who doesn't like a good story? You know, the kind of story I like, and Rod knows me, I love a movie or whatever that's based on a true story. Now, like anything you see on TV, most of the stuff is like, okay, well, it will have some truth in it, but poetical license and et cetera, et cetera. You know that a lot of it is embroidered. But I have a true story for you that changed the course of my life. Hallelujah. So, I was born in South Africa and grew up in a Christian family, in a Catholic home. But by the time I was in my teens, I'd wandered away, because I knew what I wanted. I could do things my way. I didn't need that religion and church and that kind of stuff. Except when I desperately needed it, I'd send a flare prayer, and then I'd be back on doing my own thing. I got engaged to a guy who my parents really didn't approve of, but that didn't matter because I was going to do things my way. I knew what I was doing. 2 weeks later, 2 weeks after my 21st birthday, I woke up one morning with a slightly blurred left eye, just slightly. And by the end of that day, I was completely blind in both eyes, and I was told I would never, ever see again. I was immediately put into hospital on a 32 prednisone tablet a day, and over the next couple of days, I'd lost my balance. I'd lost my sense of balance. I had no coordination. And then a few days after that, I woke up one morning, completely paralyzed down my right-hand side. I also had what is known as dysphagia. And dysphagia is when you know what you want to say, but completely the wrong words come out. And you haven't got no control of what you say. So if I wanted to say, I'm speaking at the Alliance Church, "He went fishing" would suddenly come out of my mouth with no, I had no control over it. And so people immediately thought I'd gone crazy. My physical condition really deteriorated rapidly. I was in a hospital bed with what they call cot sides, like railings on the sides, so that I couldn't fall, because I had no control. And I had to be bathed, I had to be fed. Every single personal need that I had to be done for me. I was incapable of doing any of it for myself. And as I say, because of this dysphagia story, people thought I'd lost my mind. So please just try and picture this situation. There I was, this independent 21-year-old with life at her feet, and suddenly there I was, doing nothing for myself. It was sheer torture. After about 6 weeks of being in hospital, you know, I suddenly started thinking, well, maybe I am pregnant. And through the reels and the jigs, I finally managed to get that message across to the neurologist, who said, "There's no way you're pregnant. There's no way a fetus could survive what you've been through. But I'll give you a pregnancy test anyway, and that'll just put your mind at rest." Sure enough, that pregnancy test came back positive. Now, that set the cat among the pigeons in the medical thing, because in those days in South Africa, abortion was illegal, except under extreme conditions, and I certainly was one of them. I was like a hopeless case. And so, as I say, the more the doctors tried to encourage me to have an abortion, there was something in my Catholic upbringing that said to me, God is the only one who can give life, and He is the only one who has the authority to take it away. And so I just became determined. My parents, by the grace of God, were behind me all the way. They supported me in my decisions. But anyway, the long and the short of it was, I was getting no better. I was getting no better. It was just, I was like a basket case, a heap lying in a bed. And 7 months later, in the same hospital, in the same room, in the same bed, I'd had many, many people come to pray for me. My parents were strong Christians by that stage. And so I'd had everyone from the Catholic priest to the Pentecostal casting the demons out and everyone in between. But none of it worked. Anyway, one day, it was a Friday afternoon, my mom got a phone call from a man, and his name was Leo Else. And Leo Else was just, he was an insurance salesman. Nothing fancy, not an evangelist or anything like that. He was just, and he phoned my mom after a long thing of trying to track her down because he was completely unknown to our family. He phoned my mom and he said, "I have been sitting in my office and God has told me that there's something seriously wrong with a member of your family." And my mom said, "Yeah, it's my daughter Marilyn." I was in a terrible, terrible situation. They didn't know whether I would live or die. So it was an awful situation. And Leo said to my mom, "Can I come and pray for her?" So he did. And he came, he sat next to me, pulled up a chair next to my bedside. And he was so kind. He was just like a normal guy. He wasn't trying to convert me, because that would have sent me running in the opposite direction if I could run. So he said to me, "Well, Mel, can you sit up?" Of course I couldn't, because I was completely paralyzed. So he called my mom into the room, and they got a chair. So it was an upright chair with arms, sort of like a, you know, like a stable chair, not like an armchair. And they got me sitting in this chair. And because of the paralysis, my right side had dropped about 4 inches. So I was like this lopsided look. He asked me if I could put my arms up in front of me. I could put this arm, because there was nothing wrong with this arm, but this one was absolutely, I had no muscle tone whatsoever. He just gently took the tips of this right hand. So it looked like this, because of this lopsided thing. So this hand was, if you can see this, longer. And he started to pray. And in an instant, this right hand came back to meet the left hand. He then prayed for my muscles, which had been hanging in absolute flaccid bags, and like a bodybuilder rippling their muscles, I got full muscle tone, full strength back in this hand, this arm. He then prayed for my legs, and exactly the same thing happened. So, ladies and gentlemen, I had been instantly healed of the paralysis by the Lord Jesus Christ. And that got my attention. That got my attention. You know, I immediately repented of my sin, my stubborn, willful ways, because I knew that Jesus had healed me. The psalm that is so pertinent to me is, "Praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your sins. He heals all of your diseases. He lifts your life from the pit, and he crowns you with love and compassion." My friends, that is what God did to me. God did for me. He lifted my life from the pit. Remember, I was besides being physically broken, I was emotionally broken. I'd made the worst possible choices. I had been so rebellious. I felt so embarrassed about what I'd done. I felt God lifted me up, and he put my feet on a firm place. And that, as you can imagine, certainly made an incredible impression on me. The baby, because now the baby hadn't stopped, and when I get pregnant, there's no doubts about where that, if there's anything hiding in there. So the very next morning, my mom had to take me to the mall to buy my maternity dresses. Because, I mean, you don't need maternity dresses when you're lying flat on your back on the hospital bed. But I was up and about. So, and that is how instantly my life began to change. It wasn't like I would be lying to you if I wasn't like this. But I was on the way. So, I'm forever grateful for the gift of faith that that incident gave me. Because it's given me a purpose, and I know that my purpose is to spread this story. It's just way too good to, not to share. And so God gives me opportunities wherever I go to just little bits and pieces of my testimony. So, I want to remind you that going back to verse 32, God knows all of our needs. Have you got a burning need? Are there things in your life that need to change? Are there things that you need? Like you're saying, Mel, I need that kind of thing. I need God's intervention in my life. Will you humble yourself and ask Him? It might be physical healing, or emotional healing, or spiritual healing. What about that broken relationship that's breaking your heart? God is the healer. He wants to heal. That's what He's here for. And what about, are you battling for provision? Are you wondering, like me, am I going to have enough? Am I going to have enough? When you go to the grocery store, or are you sitting with a tank in your car that's like running on empty? Or are you in the depths of addiction? Because that's an awful place to be. But God, our healer, He has the power to change that. He has the power to change that. So, worship team, I'd like to call you up, and the spiritual, the prayer team, please will you come up? And I'm going to close in prayer. And if anyone would like prayer, we would love to pray for you. And trust God. Let's trust God together for your deepest need. In Jesus' name. Okay, so I will close in prayer. So, Lord, thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for this church family, Lord. You're the only one that can see into the hearts of these people. You know the pain. You know that question, can I trust God for that? Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Lord, I ask you to fill us with faith as we believe you. We believe in your incredible ways and incredible ability to change our circumstances. So in Jesus' name, I ask, Lord, that you would just touch the things that you brought to people's minds. As I've spoken, Lord, that you would just give them the courage to come and put those requests before you. So whether you come forward or maybe just sit where you are, maybe you've got a friend next to you, pray for each other. Trust God, because I wasn't a fantastic person, but God stooped down, and by His mercy, He saved my life. In Jesus' name, amen.